Welcome back to the Roundtable. I don't know. Is that Booker T and the MG's Christmas record?
Absolutely.
Are you sure? No. I'm not sure about that. It's a.
I've never heard of Booker T.
Man. There's your microphone. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. Oh, Ray temporarily in for Joe. Joe was on the road and texted me a picture of a bus that went off the road, and he said he was taken from ditch level where they went off the road, but he's almost here. So
we can only pray.
He texted me, and he'll be here momentarily.
He's okay.
So my job is to make some small talk.
What do they call that? Vamp till ready?
Vamp till ready. I'll introduce the panel. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning.
Hey.
Listen, just a side note. I know that the Christmas present you got for me somehow got mislaid. It's not on my desk, but I'm sure it'll be there by the end of the day. Rosemary.
Oh, no, I thought you meant the other way around. The Christmas present you got for me.
Yes, my presence.
To butter up the boss.
My presence is your present. Rosemary Armeo, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. How's the shopping going?
I have more to do and decorating and baking, too. It's going to be a very busy day.
Oh, good for you. I recommend some holiday booze. It'll help you along.
No, the recommendation's not required, already taken care of.
Good for you. Well, before the show. Well done.
Exactly.
I wanted to know something, Ray. Maybe you can answer this. When you get a gift certificate, do they take the taxes out when you buy something, or do you have to pay the taxes separately? No, I think it's when you buy something, right?
Well, before we answer that question, let's throw it over to Teresa Bourgeois, who is a communications consultant who probably has the answer. Teresa, what's the answer to that question?
Oh, my goodness, I have no idea.
Well, you're the representative of the bourgeoisie.
So I left my wallet at home, but I do have the gift certificate, so I'm trying to decide if I can go to the store and do my shopping
before
I have to
go
all the way home in the snowy weather and then all the way back
I mean,
to the store.
What's a little tax, right? Right?
I left
New
my
York.
Wallet
you
got to
pay
home.
It three
Stupid.
Or four times,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I know.
I'll lend you.
You lend me money?
Oh yeah. Well,
right.
If that's the question.
Oh, right.
Well, if the question
give
is,
me
will
money.
We lend you money?
Yeah. All right.
I can answer that question.
Hey, this is great. You're finally getting paid. How about that?
What you can do, if you'd like, is call the store and ask the question.
Ah.
Well, I also left my cell phone at home, too.
You can use mine.
I just walked out. Okay.
Remember the good old days before there were cell phones, there were phone booths?
Yeah, they don't have those.
I like that.
No phone booth, no.
Superman.
Correct.
I know. I'm beginning to know how his mind thinks. It's really scary.
So I was shopping last night, and I have more to do today, unfortunately. But, you know, sometimes people recognize your voice. Well, you guys
yeah,
know
I have
this.
That, yeah.
So I was with my brother. We're shopping, and I'm in the record store, and I made some unkind shots at Tony Bennett.
Oh.
I'm not a big fan.
That's a whole different story. He was so good
the other night. Yeah.
On 57th Street, I met him personally.
Really?
Well, not exactly. He walked by me.
But anyway, someone recognized me, and I felt bad.
Because you were saying that.
I had a couple of hilarious one-liners.
Well, you can apologize publicly right
now.
What'd they say?
They just sneered at me. But I get that a lot.
They didn't call you to account?
No.
They may have thought you were Brezhnev, to be fair.
He's no Sinatra. Let's face it, okay?
One time last year, my back was really bad, and I was trying to walk through the parking lot of the shopping center, and it was painful, and I finally collapsed at Starbucks in the center, and I'm going, oh, my God, I hate my life. This isn't worth it. I don't want to shop. I don't want Christmas. Everything just sucks.
Oh,
and
nice.
The person next to me at the table goes, are you Rosemary Armey?
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's
no,
great.
No, I'm not. Well, I don't know who you're talking about.
That's my twin.
By the way, I forgot to tell the listeners, the email address to complain is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. We're making a little small talk. Joe is on the way. He'll be here momentarily. I don't even know what the topics are.
Remember
if you want to start, we can go.
Well,
remember junior high school parties when the guy who was a little late came in and said, Joe's here. Remember that?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
No.
What were you going
to
say?
Well, what I have to say today is that we can say for sure that things are going to get brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you make a point.
Right?
You make a point.
That solstice
is gone. Yes. Yeah.
So the happy thought for the day is that things will get brighter.
You know, the life-size replica of Stonehenge I have in my backyard told me that. We did a little ceremony last night.
There you go.
Put on our hoods.
The thing with Ray is that could be actually real.
Yeah, have you not been?
I have not
seen
Stonehenge. Okay,
oh, yeah.
I'll bring the booze.
Oh, how they danced. It was wonderful. All right, what's the first topic, people? I don't need any stinking preparation.
New appointments to the Trump cabinet.
Ah, so Kellyanne Conway is now appointed.
Counselor.
Did you see that this morning?
The president.
Yeah.
Right.
She'll be a counselor.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like
it's not a counsel, which is a lawyer.
The mafia calls them consiglieri.
The thing, it raises a question. If she's going to be on the inside, then who's going to run the Trump organization on the outside? Because that's what they had said she was going to do. And they're sitting on a lot of
names.
And
she's not a spokeswoman. We don't have a spokeswoman yet, right? Laura Ingraham was a name at one point.
And she's not. Laura Ingraham's not going to do it?
Well, it hasn't been announced.
They said no. But it looks like there's a woman from Fox that.
I missed that.
Or Sean Spicer, the RNC.
Yeah, the guy from the RNC.
So they seem to be trying to decide which of the two. And Donald Trump is looking for the right look.
Oh, what do you mean the right look?
That's what, there's a whole story now in the Washington Post today about how for these picks he's looking for the right look. So for instance, they say John Bolton, because he doesn't like his people with mustaches.
He doesn't like mustaches?
Sorry, Ray.
Apparently the right look is white male.
Or, you know.
Well.
Alan, you fit that bill.
But back to these selections, the other selection that he made was Peter Navarro. And when I first heard it, I thought he was appointing Peter Navarro as the U.S. trade rep because they said it's to run trade policy. And that would have been interesting enough. But it turns out that he's not putting him in the position of U.S. trade rep. He's putting him as a special White House Commission or Council on Trade.
As if to bypass the existing system. That's very intriguing.
And how will that work? Because, you know, regardless, there are rules and regulations that need to be followed.
Rules and regulations, speaking of which, Carl Icahn is there to get rid of, apparently.
And that's a whole other question because Carl Icahn is going to be a special advisor on regulation, but he's not actually going to come into the White House because, of course, that would be too complicated. Wow. Now, that's not unprecedented. I mean, President Obama had, I think, Jeff Immelt led a coalition of business people on innovation, if I remember I don't remember the title correctly.
Was that a formal appointment like this one is?
That's what I wonder is what's the legal, is there a legal difference? But the trade rep issue, so put aside for a second how anti-China Peter Navarro is.
Death by China is the name of one of his books.
Oh, boy.
I was listening to the BBC, and they sounded aghast at this appointment.
Apparently, Russia will be our friend and China will be our enemy in the Trump administration.
Why is that? Going on that we don't quite all get, but that's quite clear.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the Russian side of this is very scary. But the Chinese side is interesting to me in that Trump may be practicing what he calls the art of the deal, which is he's raising the expectations of what the United States should get from China and hoping that they will knuckle under. And they may. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen then on trade and on other stuff. So we'll see.
Well, it's standard operating procedure to ask for more than you expect to get. That's a negotiating ploy, yeah?
Well, the issue is that the level of potential instability. I mean, that picking a fight with China, at the same time there are all these pressures with Russia and growing instability in Europe. The question is why?
And, Teresa, the question is there something going on with China that Trump and the Russians are in on? I mean, obviously, you know that Trump is now a big friend of the Russians, and we have not heard, nobody's proved conclusively that Trump has been in touch with anybody.
You are, and you did this on the earlier show too, Alan. Yeah. You're giving Trump credit for knowing something we don't and having a plan. I hope that's true, but it makes me wonder because we certainly haven't seen anything like this in any administration, including Obama, who presumably has even more information than Trump because he actually listens to the intelligence.
Well, you know, Rosemary, this could be the end of the world, what we're talking about here, because everybody's got nukes and, you know, you don't know who's going to fire them. And you got North Korea nukes and all the rest of it. And so it's a very important topic. But here is an almost more important topic. We got a letter that said you pay the tax when you purchase the item.
I pay it. So I can't. Wait, but that's
not
my
the gift. Not the gift
can
certificate.
Can I use the gift certificate to pay the tax?
Of course.
Yes,
no,
yes,
yes of course.
The whole price.
So if you're buying a book that costs $18.50, says Meg, 8.125% tax is added to it. If you're in Dutchess County like I am, said Meg,
and your total would be $20, you need a $20 gift card to pay for the item.
Thank you, Meg. I'm going to go directly to the store, and if they don't do it, I'm going to be yelling at you.
Well, give them, tell them to ring her up. Here, sorry.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just call Meg.
It's fine.
Oh, and another important thing responding to you, Ray.
What did I say?
It was about Tony Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
And Kat says, Tony Bennett is so much better than Sinatra.
Oh, that is so incorrect on so many levels.
Well,
so many levels.
Just his performance the other night at 90 was extraordinary.
When Miss Piggy had to hold him up? Is that the one?
Oh.
Remember Miss Piggy had to rescue him?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said to my mother, you know, what are you doing with your life? Look at him. He's on TV. Come on. Get going here. Step up your game.
Your mom going to do a special?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That I'd watch. Bennett? Not so much. All right, so, let's take a break.
Oh,
perfect. And then maybe Joe will be here, right?
Joe's here.
Right?
You just want to get off the hook.
You betcha dupa. The email address is panel@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Hey, good morning.
Joe's here.
Joe's here.
Man. Well, good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. First of all, thanks to Ray Graff for filling in. Very nice. He doesn't yell at me too loud when I wrote him and I said, okay, so I just went off the road. Maybe a little late. But we're all good. There was a school bus off the road. No kids on the bus. And then we stopped to miss the school bus, and then we went off the road.
Eesh.
And then, you know, but everything was good.
Boy, State plow bad. Got you out.
Yeah, all the plows got us out. They did a great job. Cool. So I think we were the least of their worries at that point was the, and I have a cup of coffee handed to me. That's even better. Thank you, St. Colleen. Well, good morning and welcome. My apologies for being late. So what trouble have you been getting into? What have you been discussing?
Well, I saw you got a nasty letter from somebody who we abbreviated their letter on the air. Remember, there's a character limit. And you wrote back and said, you know, basically you were lucky to get your letter, you know, whatever part of that. And they said they would like the rest of the letter read.
Yes, and I said, that ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed.
Sorry.
Goodbye.
Happy holidays.
Well, you know, and I think people are surprised, but I said we get thousands of letters.
Thousands
and,
of letters.
I think people think we're making that up. And if you figure, I mean, you were an editor for a long time. Out of the thousands of letters a newspaper would get, I mean, what's the percentage that would actually
get
in the paper?
Read.
Yeah, very small. Very
yeah,
small.
So, I
and,
mean...
And the guy, or whoever wrote it, misspelled my name.
Yes, he did.
There.
It was A-L-L-E-N.
Oh, my God. You have to say Alan was right, and you have to spell Alan right, or forget it.
That should be the title, I agree with you, Rosemary.
I know you do.
I have to say, Rosemary, I know you're kidding, Alan, but I have to say...
Yes.
I don't understand. Like, I think you should know how to spell the person you're writing to. My father was a Philip, and he only had one L. And he went through his entire life complaining that people spelled it with two L's. So I feel for Alan when it's spelled A-L-L-E-N.
Oh, don't worry about it. I just know it's the English way, and, you know, it's the British.
My sister has a very complicated name, and when people wrote for her for jobs, that was the opening gambit. You had to get the name right with the dash in the right place and the capital letters.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah, or she would not go further. So she agrees with you.
After 30 years with the Department of Health, my father received this very nice plaque.
No.
And it said PHILLIP. And the secretary and everybody else on this dais of his retirement, he turned to him and he said, learn to spell my GD name right. And I'll work until you... Right, goodbye.
And,
so
yeah.
And there you go. What else can we talk about
this
morning?
Yeah, this sounds like a fun drive conversation, isn't it?
Okay, no. I'd be happy if you really prevailed on me to read my first prediction of the in one of my many prediction columns.
All right.
In my many
sounds good
places.
To me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm looking for it now. It's here somewhere.
Well, while you find that, I just have to say one of the most amusing things that's just happened since I got here was that apparently you said Ray said, well, maybe Joe's here, and then Rob must have said, I think he just walked in, and then Ray immediately evacuated the chair.
Yes,
I didn't even wait. I thought that was great. So, anyway.
I believe the expression was hot diggity.
By the way, we're getting a tremendous amount of mail on what subject?
Snow.
Who is better, Sinatra or Bennett?
Oh.
Well, it's not who's better or worse. It's just Bennett was at 90 singing the other night was amazing. It was just astounding.
Yeah, people are talking about
it. And the joy on his face too.
Yeah, he's terrific.
His voice is terrific.
The joy on his
face at
90.
I walked by him in the street.
We saw him at Tanglewood when he was there with Lady Gaga, and man, that was a show. I mean, you would think that she would be the one who like had the most energy of that, but no. Now, I mean, he could.
And interesting, you know, Bob Dylan shows up for that, not for his Nobel Prize,
right.
But he shows up for Bennett.
Can't diss Tony Bennett.
But Patti Smith, man, I thought she really delivered at the Nobel Prize.
She sure did.
Talk about that? That was awesome.
She did a great job. And her reaction to it and sort of telling of how she went about it was really interesting.
She actually didn't do a great job. She kind of broke down in the middle of it and then apologized. I'm sorry, I'm so nervous. And it just could not have been better.
Yeah, people like that. Here it is.
Okay.
Prediction. After a defense agency leaks news of a Putin-Trump conversation relating to fixing the presidential election, there will be an immediate move in the House of Representatives to impeach Trump. Speaker Ryan, who will certainly run for president at some point, will be under such incredible pressure that he will have to allow an impeachment vote. Trump will be impeached, and the Senate will convene for a trial and convict Trump. There will be other charges, including one that states that he violated the Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution.
I wish that were true, but I think
even if that
conversation did come to light and were documented and taped, you know, a la Nixon White House, I can just see Republicans saying, "Oh well, it's water under the bridge. Let's move on."
Now we only have a minute before we have to go to a break, but so we had always I'm setting up for the next when we come back, right? But the Corey Lewandowski move is interesting because we had always been told we had suspected. And I'm looking at Teresa because I think she was one that suspected this as well, that Kellyanne Conway was going to go off and work from the outside.
That's what was reported.
And work. And now it seems that Lewandowski is the guy who's going out to do that job. And now Conway has the in, which means that you have both Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon in the Oval Office.
The Mercer team.
There you go.
Well, she really has been the spokesman in many ways for
absolutely.
For Trump. Yeah.
But it is interesting that that's also not her role in this, right?
She'll craft every message that goes out there,
and she'll be showing.
And she knows how to do that, which is so frightening to me. Even in her appointment, she's saying I could do the best.
All right, we have to go to a break. But the best part of this is that Kate McKinnon continues to be able to do her impression. We'll be right back after this.
So what's the worst state in the country now, Joe?
Well, according to my brother, who called me up at 5 this morning in great panic, my brother is a North Carolinian, and
that's a contender.
While being born in Brooklyn, he went below the Mason-Dixon line, and has been living there for decades. But he called in great despair about the legislature yesterday, refusing to repeal the bathroom bill, and as well as his continued frustration with the legislature stripping the new governor of any real power. So,
and do you see that happening in other states? Other Republican legislated states that governors who are Democrats will be stripped of power?
I don't know the answer to that because I, you know, off the top of my head, I don't know if others were. It's Republican control and Democratic governor.
We do know that Republican legislature, it became infectious, began to gerrymander like crazy as soon as they got into office, breaking all the general rules. You don't do it till the 10-year time comes up. They threw out virtually every Democratic congressman in Texas. We had a very substantial Democratic delegation, and they did it. So now it may be, as you're suggesting, that these people, take hints from each other.
Certainly the Republicans have been very methodical for more than a decade probably 15 years or more, at focusing on more local races, the state legislatures, on boards of elections. And with this North Carolina question, the thing that amazed me is how fixated they were on controlling the Board of Elections.
Yes.
And which is their focus is on suppressing the vote. And you saw this even in the Trump campaign. One of the things that they touted, there were a couple of articles about this, is their comprehensive effort at voter suppression.
Yes.
And yes, but you know what? They weren't entirely wrong philosophically in what they were doing. They were saying, okay, we want equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans in the Board of Elections, right? I mean, you would expect that. We have that sort of thing here. So the problem, of course, is if you do that, what are you doing? You're doing it only when the Democrats get into power. You're not doing it in the old days when you had the power to do it to the Republicans.
Right.
Democrats have been lax on this, on local level control and that working through the legislatures to do what you cannot achieve at the federal level. Abortion is the one I'm interested in. Abortion has rolled back across the states. In Ohio, basically, you can't have an abortion after it.
But Ohio,
as soon as there's
a scary
heartbeat, it is. As soon as there's a heartbeat. And most women don't even know they're pregnant until there's a heartbeat. So there's no abortion. And that is in defiance of federal law. And they're now talking about a constitutional convention, which would have to be convened by, 33 states? And that could actually happen.
Sure.
Republicans are getting closer. So Democrats, it's not disgusting that Republicans do that. It's pretty damn smart and determined. And Democrats better start answering it.
But if your focus is on suppressing the vote, if your focus is on policy and to build support for your policy, that's one thing. But we live in a democracy, and I just think it's disturbing that their focus is on suppressing the vote.
What makes you think we live in a democracy if Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes?
There you go. Now,
No answer to that.
So no answer to that one. But I was interested in President Obama's exit interview, I think it was with NPR, where one of the things he talked about was to try to develop talent at the grassroots and state level. And I know Bernie Sanders has talked about this, and there are other groups have also talked about this, that the Democrats really have to focus engaging.
I'm sure.
How did we get so far behind? How did Democrats get so far behind on this? It's so obvious.
Because they focus resources on the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and the Republicans for more than 15 years have focused their attention on the state houses to win, particularly around gerrymandering, to have control of the state houses.
Well, yes, that's true.
Good policy. But
when Rosemary says, how did we get so far behind this? There is an unpleasant sort of explanation in terms of Trump winning the presidency, and that is that that the correct liberal positions that have been taken on virtually everything by the Democrats ended up ticking off a good deal of this country who didn't like them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is something, even though they were right, you know, is it more important to win or is it more important to be right?
Yeah.
Did they not like the issues or the distortion of the issues? And what comes to my mind, of course, is health care.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that definitely was distorted. But I think they didn't like a lot of the issues, like gay rights, for example,
right,
and abortion. Did any of you read the Linda Greenhouse op-ed in the New York Times? So she's the great Supreme Court reporter. And she wrote about looking at the Trump appointments to date, including the ones today. Do not look for any sort of compromise on the Supreme Court name he makes. He's under no obligation to pick the people, even on the list he's given out when he was, you know, courting people. She expects to see an out and out utter horrible conservative of the worst kind.
Why would it be? We got a letter on that.
Are you surprised, Alan, that there hasn't
named it so
named
far.
No, he's going to wait till he gets.
He'll wait till
he's. He'll wait till he gets there and uses the bully pulpit.
And you know, aren't they in fact waiting and suspecting that there could be a recess nomination by Obama before he leaves? He does have that right. I really don't see him doing it, but he actually could name somebody as soon as the holiday recess begins.
He's already
who
named
would be in for a year to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, he could name his choice.
He could name Hillary.
Okay, so Michael writes, you never know what you get with a Supreme Court justice right on target.
There it is, yeah.
A conservative appointment by Nixon turns out to be the most liberal on the court. John, and how about Eisenhower? You know, the Warren Court. John Roberts saved Obamacare to the disappointment of his legislative cronies. There's hope.
There isn't, though. I have this thought, and there isn't.
There isn't hope.
And here's why. Here's why there's no hope. Look at the
Happy
Trump
holidays.
Appointments.
There's no hope.
Look at the Trump appointments.
We
believe
have to
me,
hope for the good health of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Trump picks people who are ideologues and loyalists, and that does not make for really brilliant people who can argue both sides and see things in multiple ways. They're very one-sided and deliberate, and I don't see any hope that he's going to make a difference in his appointment on the Supreme Court.
To which I say, do you think? You're right. Of course you're right. Okay.
So there is no
hope.
Who
is Pence's
right.
pick? I think that's...
You know, I think we're getting some letters, and I know you're going to go to them.
No, not till you're ready.
We'll go to them, but I think, you know, next week, maybe a great question for Vox Pop would be, because we're getting a lot of different, of the worst state. What people think is the worst state.
Yeah.
Because Texas, Ohio,
lack
North
of
Carolina,
hope is the worst
they're all apparently in the running here. So
I suppose it could be New Jersey.
Jersey, there you go. California used to be, and now we got a
new kids.
All right.
We're the United States of America.
Not according to Time magazine.
Okay.
Well, I'm holding out hope.
Let us just pray that we're still contiguous by the end of
2017. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
So scary.
John writes, can the panel share their thoughts on the $1 trillion in wealth creation impacting many 401ks since the election? Does the market really have it wrong regarding the economic benefits of a Trump government? Does the panel believe the economy and average Joe will benefit from Trump's leadership? Is this part of Allen's 2017 predictions? And no market rallies only benefit Wall Street fat cats.
It's too early to tell. No, I don't think working class people who supported him will benefit. I don't see a single policy or appointment or statement that leads to anything that will help working class people.
Well, but John is throwing this. John is throwing this.
He's
in your face.
About wealth. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's up right now, but and hold on. Don't depend on it. You know, I'm holding on now and getting ready to.
Are you in the what goes up must come down?
Absolutely.
Group?
Yeah. Nothing has changed between the election and now. Just perceptions, and you don't build wealth on perceptions.
Well,
it's a very short term thing.
Well, maybe you're wrong. Maybe what's going on here is here's a president who appoints the worst possible people in terms of all the controls we have on the environment and everything else. And people are saying, good, now my companies, I'm going to bet on companies to make some money for me because they won't have to obey what were the rules in the past.
If they are doing that, it's really short term because overall people want green. The green movement has been pushed at the company level because that is what consumers want and need. So it's
Well, the company, but Rosemary, the company level was done because they knew the direction that the country was going in. Now, if it turns out that that is not what Trump is saying, he's saying everything goes. Here's a 70-year-old man, right? Got children, he's got grandchildren. Does he have grandchildren? I think
yes.
he does.
Yes,
he
does.
Grandchildren.
His children are prolific.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's at some point he'll go. He'll die. Maybe, you know, soon. I'm a 75-year-old. I recognize that kind of thing happens. maybe it'll be in 10 years. But he doesn't care whether those kids burn up or what happens with the environment. And what does he want? China, where they're walking around with masks on their faces?
Look at his own history. He has made a very good life for himself and his children by disregarding the laws that exist, such as not trading in Cuba, hiring illegal workers, buying from China.
Not paying his debts.
Not paying his,
not
debt
paying his
taxes. Okay, not
contractors.
Completely illegal. Let's call them improper. Because I don't want to get letters saying he did nothing illegal.
Okay, well, that's been a good discussion based on that letter, don't you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Actually, so let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll finish those letters. We'll be right back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We are right in the midst of letters, so let's go back to the midst.
I noticed that Rob is playing the violin music as we were speaking.
Yeah, I don't, that's the Mariah Carey.
We were speaking, so that I think, you know, usually if you watch a sitcom or something, when the violin music starts to play, people are in danger.
That's right.
Well, we dangerous. Just told them there was no hope. Now there's danger.
Yes. 2 days before Christmas.
Getting a little maudlin. Mary, yes.
Yeah.
Claude, or is it Cloud? Do we really know anything Trump is going to do as president beyond building a wall and having a Mexico pay for it, throwing Hillary in jail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Ha! I suppose we just have to judge by his appointments. I thought George Bush Jr. was bad. It's not George Bush Jr.
George W. Bush.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Was bad and ill-informed, but Trump brings incompetence to new levels, and that's from Claude of Albany. Okay. Worst state is Ohio, as Governor John Kasich just signed a measure blocking local governments from raising minimum wage. Nothing says Merry Christmas like poverty wages. And panel, says Mal, if I wanted to hear mindless yapping, I would turn on the TV. Program opens as a total waste of time.
Oh, we knew that was going to happen.
This is how I responded to that listener.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Which was, I just said, calm down, just getting in gear, patience, peace, joy.
Well, that's
and we're so glad you're safe, Joe.
Yeah.
That's just a nice way of putting it.
Yes.
The important thing is
as opposed to what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I know.
Join the lumpen proletariat.
I'm making all my Jewish and Muslim friends say Merry Christmas to me now in light of the Trump holiday, yes. No, none of that happy holiday PC stuff. Merry Christmas.
Mitch says, I'm a new resident to the Albany area, and I am so glad. I am so glad to have found your roundtable program. I haven't heard a better morning program on other local NPR stations in New York State than yours on WAMC. Kellyanne Conway will become counselor to the president. Can you give us an idea what sort of responsibilities and, more importantly, how much influence she will have in Trump's administration? What exactly will be her role? Thank you again for making my move into the area more pleasant. Well, that's from Mitch. And Mitch, I have to say that what will happen is she'll have as much responsibility as Trump wants to give her, and I think she's going to be running the show. Mm-hmm. When Pataki became the governor, the commissar, that's not a good word really, the person in charge of his administration was somebody named Xenia Mukha. And believe me, Xenia Mukha was running things.
Regardless of what title she had.
Yeah, right. She was
I don't think she's going to be running. I disagree with you. I think you're going to see the same the same pattern that you saw during the election, which is she lets him be him, and then she puts the public face on it. She, like, smooths down the edges, and she presents it in that amazing way she does of relating what he's doing, which is totally for him and his interests, to what you the people really want. That's not running the show.
But what if it's a double, triple, quadruple fake out in which she appears to be doing that? That's what Xenia always
did. Then who's Steve Bannon? Why is he there?
I think he's there because they had to keep the alt-right happy, so they put him in that office over there. Now, I will say that I think that there's a very good possibility that the naming of these cabinet ministers, if I want to say that, is cabinet folks, comes directly from Bannon. I have to say,
Pence. That, you should talk, Teresa. You think you're? I agree with you on the Pence argument that he's
well,
in charge.
Well, but these
of
people are. These people really are very close to alt-right. These are not Pence sort of conservative Republican types.
Right. I think you have two factions, and it will be left to determine what happens. But I think you have what I call the Mercer faction.
Right.
Bannon. Robert Mercer.
Explain that to people. He's a rich guy.
He's a hedge fund guy, one of the top donors. But he has been supporting Steve Bannon, Kellyanne Conway, and a guy named David Boise, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, for a long time in a range of endeavors. And when he brought his money to the table earlier this year into the Trump campaign, with him came Kellyanne Conway, yep, Bannon, and Boyce into the Trump campaign to take over. So they are one faction. And then the other faction is the Pence Priebus faction, the RNC faction.
Okay, but isn't it safe? I understand that, but isn't it safe to say that Bannon and Conway had a great deal of say in the choosing of Mike Pence?
Yes. But
he was acceptable, I think.
He was acceptable to them.
But
he's ultra-conservative.
Right.
And they say that they all get along, but they are of a different focus in terms of issues and such.
I agree with that.
But they seem to have carved out, I think, I don't know, but it looks like that the Bannon group, Conway group, they'll do the overall messaging and direction.
Yeah.
And it looks like the Pence people are going to run the details, run the bureaucracy side of the things. So the question is, the piece that's never been answered is, what's the core philosophy here and who's driving the core philosophy and, you know, where are they all headed?
Well, your mistake, I believe, here, if there is a mistake.
There may be.
I hope so.
I really hope I'm wrong.
I think the mistake here is that you think there is a core philosophy.
No, I don't. That's the piece, Alan, that I think is missing. Yeah. And then what happens when you have all of this conflict and you have no core driving force? Then you have a lot of independent operators, and who knows? Then you end up with calls to, you know, taking the call from Taiwan.
This is how Trump has run his business empire, too. He likes all these conflicting factions, and then they come to him, and he says, I pick you, America first.
That has led to multiple bankruptcies.
And by the way, FDR did the same thing. FDR played. Yes, he did. I'm sorry, Rosemary. You can smirk at me as much as you like.
I didn't but smirk. I sneered.
What was that? You sneered.
Yeah.
You sneered as opposed to.
It was an audible sneer.
No, but FDR did. He gave the same assignment to 10 people, and then they all came back to him, and he picked the one that he liked the most, or none of them at all. He told everybody they were going to be the president after he was the president. He was going to pick them for vice president.
The thing about Conway, too, and Bannon, is this loose affiliation with the truth. And, you know, I'm not sure.
Wow. There are no facts anymore, according to Scotty.
Fact-free zone. And with Bannon, too, you want, what is Mercer's agenda? That's the other piece that I can't, you know, I've been trying to read
that
as much as I can about Robert
too.
Mercer and Rebecca Mercer and his daughter. And what is their agenda? What are they hoping, except for to reduce regulation? Beyond that,
they want to shrink government is the only thing
they
that,
don't
and,
like.
And
government.
Certainly, the appointments of many people who don't even believe in the departments they're heading seems to be, and shrinking regulation.
Period. Energy
seems like we're on that path. And how will that play with American people? Who a lot of Republicans have talked about smaller government.
So Trump's doing what he said he's going to do. He's
indeed
gonna blow things up.
Back to letters.
I just watched a rebroadcast, says James, of CBS Morning of Joe Biden's note to self. What a good person. And it's our loss that he is not President-elect Biden. That had occurred to me a couple of times.
I point out again that Joe Biden did run several times. He never got very far.
Right.
His past came to haunt him. We as a people love candidates when they are not actually running for something else.
Yes, but you can agree with the letter writer.
I like Joe Biden. I would have voted for him. I would have voted for Bernie. I would vote for any Democrat over who we have.
And with all these complaints that the Democrats didn't go into Wisconsin or Pennsylvania, he was in all of those places
there you go.
Over and over again. So
That's his core constituency. Right. Yes.
Erica says, good morning, panel. This morning I went to on Facebook page of someone I know whom I have nothing in common with politically. I felt I should start to become more familiar with the thought process of the rabid Trump supporters to try to make some sense out of all of this. He posted the newest cover of National Geographic, which features a 9-year-old transgendered child. His comment, "Get the battery cables, Mike Pence."
Oh,
I was shocked and deeply saddened. How are we supposed to have a conversation with people who feel this way? Is there any hope? I am feeling real despair. And you are not alone in that despair, by the way. Not so.
Well, this is what you were saying earlier, exactly what you were saying earlier about tapping into this of of the Democrats getting behind and tapping into the, the feelings that have sort of been creeping up for the last.
It's suddenly become very okay to speak at this sort of horribleness. We the one thing the Democrats did was what, you know, what Trump calls political correctness, which I would say civil discourse is exactly what it is. And that's gone now. And just look, I'm on social media all the time, and I do have lots of Facebook friends who are Neanderthals. Exactly, expressing this sort of stuff. And, you know, a woman in at a store who's just yelling at a Spanish-speaking customer in front of her about, go back where you come from. And it's awful, and it's allowed, and people just stand by and watch it and record it. The only thing that gives me hope is that we've been here before and we got out of it. We did it by resistance and decency and like-minded people sticking together and working for betterment, and we have to do it all over again.
I hope you're right. I hope we get that chance to do that. What I'm afraid of here is that there's going to be a new era of McCarthyism and repression, the likes of which we have never seen in this country.
I also fear that. But we also got out of that too, Alan.
Right. And it's an opportunity, say, on this Facebook page for the person to write a polite note saying, you know, what if this were your child or something? You know, how to enter into a dialogue. And but also, you know, I was watching Fox last night because I think it's important to do. And you really, as you're thinking about this, is how a number of people get only their news from that.
Mike Gallagher on the radio. Oh, my God.
And they were, you know, in the day that
started here.
Omni favorite.
In the day that they talked about the, you know, Trump was reinforcing his view on the Muslim ban. They had stories about a student who had a fake anti-Muslim situation at the University of Michigan. And we're saying this is what's creating the hate.
Yeah.
Not that Trump's creating the hate, but this fake story is creating the hate.
I like this idea, though, of listening to people who are so rabidly in favor of the other side. And to me, it seems mean and vicious. And yet they're not mean and vicious people voicing these opinions. I really would like to understand that.
All right, we got a minute.
You heard from Karen. I am ashamed that I don't know how the details of our government work, especially in the more local levels on up. Example, I don't understand how the town of Bethlehem works. No mayor. Can you recommend an adult course or book for me so I can start getting more involved besides just voting? I want to recommend that you go to my colleague. He's an honored professor at the State University of New York at New Paltz, Professor Gerald Benjamin. He's written extensively on this kind of state and local government. I suggest you look them up. Just do
don't
that.
Study. Go to a town of Bethlehem meeting. Yeah, you'll go to three meetings and you'll get it.
All right, we're going to pause there. I just do want to. You were giving a prediction earlier, making a prediction for the new year, Alan, and Rick has made one.
What did
and he
say?
Says that his prediction is that Conway will be Trump wife number four.
Oh,
no, she's too old.
Well,
she's 49. Well, she's out.
We'll leave there.
And I think she's flat-chested. That's also a disqualifier.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just quoting our president.
Take it back. Take it back.
Stop. Sounds time for a break.
Take it back.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable.
I'm getting more and more depressed as this goes on.
You should.
I have to go drink eggnog. I know. I'm going to drink eggnog and shop. My granddaughter's coming.
It's a brighter day, remember.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I hope there'll be a world for her to grow up in.
Oh, did you hear about the problem with eggnog? There's a shortage of eggnog.
Oh, my God. All
what's,
right.
What's
it
that?
Really is
there's an eggnog room. Shortage.
Well, you can find something else to put the hooch into.
Well, what is it, Teresa?
I don't know what's behind the eggnog shortage.
Well, there's plenty of eggs, so it must be the nog.
They're off their noggin. Anyway, sorry.
All right, let's go.
What is eggnog anyway? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Let's go to with the letters. We got a lot of them, so we'll move in on those.
Okay. All right. Dear panel, Rosemary misspoke. Kasich vetoed the heartbeat bill.
I did look that up. He did.
And passed a different.
Oh, I did not know that. Thank you for letting me know.
A different bill.
And
yes,
passed a different bill making abortion after 20 weeks illegal. I once knew that, but I didn't know
it. Yes, he did.
Thank you.
He vetoed the heartbeat bill.
Maybe there is hope.
You can have an abortion in Ohio up to 20 weeks, but still not a lot. Okay. Good morning. Always love the dialogue. Dialogue. When Alan, did I spell that right? You did. Said this morning, for the Democrats, is it better to be right or to win?
reminds me of saying you may be driving in the correct lane, but if the truck is coming at you in that lane, you either can stay in the lane or move out of the way. Hold your position and possibly die or save yourself. Happy holidays to you all.
Oh, I love that letter.
Now, you know, I always say to Roselle, you know, Roselle said, did you see that? That guy was wrong. And I say, yeah, but you have to be careful, otherwise you'll be dead right.
Great letter. Thank you for that.
I said, when Alan said, did I spell that right?
Yeah, I said that. I mentioned really that because, as you know, I've called people out for this terrible misspelling with A-L-L-E-N. It's just a terrible way to do it.
Wow.
Anyway, Trump is a narcissist. He only cares about himself, says Keith. There's a short, brief letter. Good morning, all. Am I correct in remembering that during Bush 2, there was an agenda to, number one, gain elected power from the bottom up, school boards, et cetera. Number two, to simplify, dumb down the electorate with things like soundbite discourse. I think it is reality now. Dylan says, World War II GIs died by the thousands and are glorified for their sacrifice. Likewise, people taken by terrorists' hatred do not choose their fate, but their sacrifice is necessary to defend freedom. Freedom is more important than innocent lives. I'm going to read that again, folks. When a leader has the guts to say that, you'll know they can kill the few terrorists, while protecting the multitude of innocents. That's from Dylan. You want me to read it again so you get it right?
The part about... Yeah, the people part having to die at the hands of terrorists for democracy, I'm not quite getting that concept. Am I reading it wrong?
I don't understand.
That's what it
from
says.
That's from the perspective of terrorists. Whether they meant that.
I share your concerns, Rosemary. Okay. Ona says, having a consistent federal environmental policy may be better for business. If Trump eliminates federal environmental regulations, then businesses will be subjected to requirements by state-by-state basis, which is actually more difficult to manage. Thanks for the great show. Glad you made it in. Okay, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Dear panel, what are your thoughts on Robert Reich's idea that liberals need to approach this fight like the Tea Party fought Obama? I think it is the way to go. But any ideas how do small local liberal political groups proceed in a united way? Help to create hope. Well, you know, in the Berkshires now, there's a new group forming called the Four Freedoms Group. And they are getting together. They're going to have marches. They're bringing people. It's going to be bipartisan. It's going to be anybody who has concerns about where all of this is going. Not a bad model, I think. I got to do something.
And there's some things you can do right now. You know, I'm fixated on healthcare. So share your healthcare story with elected officials and the public if Obamacare has benefited you. They're just basic things. Or if you're concerned about the... environmental regulations. Just
did you see the huge influx of people into Obamacare?
6.5 million, right?
Yeah. Almost 500,000 more.
Can I say something about that? Shame on them. Shame on them for waiting until the program was endangered, because one of the problems was that not enough people were signing up. Therefore, the program wasn't working the way that it should. Now they see it going and they say, OK, I got to get this lifesaver here.
But it may help. And I'm wondering if they realize once they sign up, it might not say. But Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City, has an active campaign now to sign up more people, as are others, too.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be it's going to get harder and harder once the reality of.
And as the president said on, I believe it was Trevor Noah in his exit interview, was saying that, you know, even if you sign up now, sign up, because at very least you still have a year of coverage, you know, and that's the important part, at least for that year. And, you know, what happens will happen, I guess. But
And
you hope there's strength in numbers.
Right. But I want to go back to something that Teresa said, I think, a minute ago, and that is that people really have to, you know, write to their legislators, including legislators who are Republicans.
Absolutely.
So, for example, you know, my friend John Faso, for example, who is a Republican and who is in a very mixed district. I mean, a Republican or a Democrat can win in that district. And they have to say to him, hey, look, we're holding you accountable for continuing Obamacare, if that's what you're going to do. So I do think you're right, Teresa, that writing to select legislators, particularly in states where there's a close contest, It's a very important thing to do.
If you have a pre-existing condition, if you have a child between 21 and 26, it's now covered. If you have, you know, any of the host of reasons, if you didn't have health care before, because there's an interesting, the Senate Democrats, U.S. Senate Democrats, have done an analysis district by district, and they are telling, sharing that information with their colleagues to how many people would lose their coverage in their state and or their congressional district if, in fact, they proceed in the way they say they're going to do.
And there's an argument for this. Obamacare is the same as Mitt Romney's program.
Right.
It is Republican-based. After the Hillary Clinton's program in the 90s failed, Mitt Romney offered this as an alternative.
Thinking
Democrats adopted it. And now we hate it just because Obama's name, he didn't even attach it. The Republicans put Obama's name on it and began hating on it.
Well, they used it to raise money and to build coalitions. And I think it'll be one of the things President Obama said is, okay, if you want to give it a different name, repeal it and replace it with what we have now.
Yeah,
that's fine with me.
Just keep
whatever you want. Just keep it and make the tweaks that we've said are needed.
Interesting about Romney, isn't it? He was right about health care, vilified, right about Russia. And humiliated when going after Secretary of State. He's an interesting figure.
And wrong about the dog.
Definitely wrong about the dog.
But he worked with Senator Kennedy's folks in Massachusetts the plan that became the model.
Oh, bipartisan, working together. I remember those days.
Right.
And so Louise writes us and says, Donald Trump and his billionaires don't care about the environment, et cetera, because they will have their own enclaves with all the clean water and air that billions can buy, and everyone can suffer and expire. Their version of survival of the fittest. That's from Louise.
No, look what's going on in China just this week.
Sure.
You see the picture of the kids taking their tests outside in the smog.
It's terrible.
America voted for Trump and his billionaires. This is what we want.
Well, not really. I keep telling you that America didn't vote for Trump. The electors voted for Trump, and they did so in a couple of key states, as opposed to the 3 million more who voted for Hillary.
Not worth making because everybody knew the rules and went in, and he won fair and square.
No. It is an argument
except for
worth
the Russian part.
I'm sorry, Rosemary. I so disagree with you, and I'm sure everybody else who's listening will. You get 3 million more votes in a country, it means something. I'm so sorry.
I also think
in time,
people who voted for him because they were economically insecure will come to realize that a number of the things that he was saying rhetorically that sounded good for them, in fact, won't be good for them.
I hope they
healthcare,
see that. I think he has
certainly.
An amazing communications network in place that will prevent them from seeing or thinking that.
Our wonderful Barbara writes us a letter. Ted Cruz and Mike Lee want to make North Carolina's HB2 bill a federal law that would permit discrimination against members of the LGBT community everywhere. Trump said he would sign it, says Barbara.
Oh, man. Yes. If that happens, I'm using nothing but men's rooms from now on. That's ridiculous.
Oh boy. And David says, your discussion of the Republican success at the state level did not address the dark money campaign of the Koch brothers and others detailed eloquently in Jane Mayer's Dark Money.
Yes.
The rich have systematically skewed the electoral process and promulgated unchallenged misinformation. Decisions like Citizens United have allowed the process to snowball. This is not a level playing field. The willingness of Trump and others to dispense with civil discourse has exacerbated the problem. Note Leonhardt's and New York is it Leonhardt New York Times column. Democrats had a knife and the GOP had a gun. That's from David. All right,
and I agree.
And Matthew says, in electing Trump, don't you think that America got what it deserves? Oh
yes,
boy,
I do.
Well, you and I are on different sides of that one too, Rosemary.
We did not get elections are choices. The choice was made pretty clear.
So, but if some woman can't get an abortion and can't afford to go to another place. We had that discussion just yesterday, Rosemary. She's not getting what she deserves. If somebody can't feed their kids and doesn't have milk for their children or vouchers that will get her some food for their kids, they're not getting what they deserve. If quality,
that's such a liberal argument. She should not have gotten pregnant.
I'm not exactly through yet.
I'm just trying to give the other side, which our listeners always ask for.
Yeah. And also you're taking terrible advantage of a mind that has lost its facility years ago and forgot the last thing it was going to say.
But I think there is a disconnect.
That was funny.
Write it down. Take notes.
That was funny.
There is a disconnect between the Trump rhetoric and the some of the proposals that they were. I'm sorry, I'm being
be
my wonky self.
No.
You guys are being your quippy and funny self. So.
Okay, so in electing Trump, don't you think America got what it deserves? Most of the population has a reality show mentality devoid of any ability to think critically. No, I do not think it got what it deserved.
So I was struck. I just thought in our few moments before we leave. We'll be off tomorrow, and then of course the holiday over the weekend, and then we'll be off on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. We have some great specials, and if you go to WAMC.org, you can check that out. So that's how we're going to go for over the next couple of days. So this will be the last panel until next Tuesday. I just thought in our few remaining moments, and I sort of thought about this as I was working on the topics last night, and I inevitably go to hit my news link, and instead I hit my Facebook page, and I saw Rosemary's pleading basically for Christmas cards.
I love Christmas cards.
And then that brought me to some interesting facts that I started to look up last night about the holidays, of what we do and what we don't like to do.
We don't send Christmas cards anymore, right?
But you know what? You know who really likes them are millennials. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, so they're going to bring it back. Excellent.
I think so. Especially the millennials
who are married.
Do they get them electronically, or do they get them
mail? They actually like to make their own.
Yeah, I like to get them in the mail.
I love that. How come I don't have a Christmas card from you, Alan?
Yeah, the millennials are married to Trump.
All right, so first of all, three quick things is that according to a new poll, conservatives are most likely to be offended by you saying happy holidays. I think we probably know that, right?
I not only conservatives, I happen to be with them on this one. I have no problem with saying to somebody who I know to be Christian, Merry Christmas.
Or to someone who is Jewish, Happy Hanukkah.
Or any of it, yeah.
But you don't take exception to happy holidays. See, they say if you say happy holidays, you're taking the Christ out of Christmas. And
only in terms of the motivation for saying happy holidays. I think this thing could go too far.
But you don't know the motivation. And I also think that
I know.
Because holidays, there are holidays, as Rosemary beautifully put it in your Facebook post, you mentioned all of the various holidays that take place over the next couple of days. That's one thing. The other thing I noticed, in the holiday traditions, there was that poll, and then there's the Pew Forum. Alan?
Pew!
Okay.
I think Teresa's right. This is not something they're talking about in Aleppo right now.
No.
These are first world problems. Be kind.
Well, peace, right?
Right. Be peaceful. Do something for other people.
That's so nice. That's what we can do to fight back.
Well, that's absolutely
kindness.
Kindness.
And we'll start here,
everywhere.
Right?
Right. Okay. Stronger together, right?
This is like
right?
the love
We're
song of J. Alfred Prufrock.
We're stronger together, Joe.
All right. So
kindness.
So this I just want to leave on this note. So millennials, this is according to this new poll from Pew. So
millennial Trump.
Okay.
Pew.
81% of millennials put up a Christmas tree, regardless of their religious background.
Cool.
Say it's a cultural, they believe it more of as a cultural tradition than a religious tradition, but 81%.
Is it sustainable?
And also
do
a lot of intermarriage.
Yes, absolutely. 91%, and this is opposed to an older baby boomer senior generation, which is only like 78%, but 91% of millennials, they want to buy gifts for friends and family.
Nice.
Buy local.
Go caroling. Nobody likes that.
Nobody
likes
caroling.
That. The only Generation X is the only generation that likes it, and they only 19% of them.
And Joe, I don't get it. They come to carol in front of our house.
Yes.
It's 20 below zero.
Here they come, a wassailing.
You open up the door.
Yes.
You can't close the door in their face. You got to keep the stupid door open.
I'll tell you, I had the one of the... And you don't want to hurt anybody, and yet you don't really want to hear the whole song. And
so
some are good, and some
are... Tony Bennett records on. That's right. Great Christmas carols.
I have to say, one of the most beautiful things, I have this on my Facebook page, but one of the most beautiful things I've seen in a long, long time is a group of children, maybe 15, 20 children. I was at a local business in Greenwich, and they came in, and they were all in their little hats and coats and their mittens, and they're just little tiny children. And they sang Joy to the World. It was the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
The fact that it was at the brewery, you know.
Oh, wow.
But still,
but, you know,
it's still lovely.
Carolyn, go to a senior center in Carroll, go to an airport. And
senior citizens don't like it either.
No.
They don't like Carolyn?
They'd rather have eggnog with hooch in it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, by the way,
what about going to an airport in Carolyn when everybody's all stressed?
Wouldn't there,
that
that's
be
a good
sweet?
One, too.
You know, there's a lot of places
more
you can Carroll.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
you can pet the pig at the Albany Airport.
What is up there's with the pig? By
the yeah, there's a therapy pig at the Albany Airport.
The TSA
got a diaper
people,
on?
I hope, are petting it.
I don't know how that's taken
anyway,
care of, Alan, but it is a good point. I give you.
But I did discover the peppermint pig still exists.
That's a Saratoga thing.
But it moved, but it's still.
Anyway, you were going
go
somewhere interesting.
I think
we
this
went
is
off
interesting.
The rails.
So sending holiday cards. Everybody's in on this. Millennials, Generation X, Baby Boomers. And what they refer to in Pew as the silent generation. Is that just seniors?
I have a goal of 100, and I put them up on all the woodwork.
You want the letters, do you?
Woodwork.
You want the letters?
I love the letters.
Sure, the letters.
I
why do people disparage the letters? I love the letters.
I do, too. In fact,
I never
actually
put the pictures in them.
I'm against the letters.
I'm against the letters.
I'm against the letters.
I'm for the letters.
Who cares?
Anyway, go ahead.
I can
who cares
show you
what
do
your
that.
Third
show
cousin
the
did?
The pictures.
That's right.
You met your third cousin in
it's so sweet. I love the letters. Send letters, send cards. Sorry, Joe.
Okay, no. I just wanted to.
We need to exchange addresses, Teresa.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can send cards.
Get cards, letters. I'm for more. Anybody wants to send cards.
All right.
Go ahead, Joe.
All I'm going to say is I hope you all have a beautiful holiday. Thank you very much. We'll be back on. We'll be back with the panel on Tuesday. So to Alan and Rosemary and Teresa and to all of our. By the way, just a shout out to all of our wonderful panel members who sit here day in, day out, all through the year, and we love them all, and we wish them all a very, very Merry Christmas and happy holiday and joy to the world and all of that. And we just thank you. We thank them for all they do, and we thank you for listening and all of that good stuff.
Well said.
So our thanks and joy and peace to everyone. We still have half a show left. We'll continue to do that. But in the meantime, we'll hear the short break.